You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Portland Trailblazers reached the halfway point of the season. What do we know now that we didn't know at the start of the season? We will talk about that and more on the latest edition of the Blazer Focus Podcast. I'm Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and I'm joined by Craig Burnback, who's coming back from a weekend of debauchery in Las Vegas with Kelly Acoin. I saw the reports that you guys were wanted for at least most of the weekend. There was some kind of like hangover-ish things going on. Tell the truth. I mean, I can't believe we're doing this podcast because it's going to be traced, you know, to you, and then the police are going to find you. So what'd you guys do in Vegas, man? Come on. I know what happens in Vegas.
I watched a documentary. I did, actually, over the, you know, like, I'm not a debauchery guy. We watch some sports, you know. I bet less than others. We hang out. Same group of guys for 20 years, you know, about been doing this. So, Kelly Acoin, Blazer fanatic, actor extraordinaire.
Been escaping the feds for 20 years, that's all I heard.
Yeah, our good connecting friend Ben Mankiewicz, who's the host of Turner Classic Movies, who I've known for 25 years, and Kelly's known for longer. Yeah, we had a good time. Watched a lot of football, a little bit of basketball. Overpaid for some dinners, and you know, I don't take part in the spirits, so I'm you know, I'm still drinking my Snapple iced tea while the rest is getting. I'm a child, like. In the morning, everyone's getting coffee. I hate coffee. It's hot dirt water. I get hot chocolate. At night, people are getting drinks. I'm like,
pineapple juice on the rocks.
Can I get a Coke? I'm like, can I get a Coke? They're like, everyone's like, you want Diet Coke? I'm like, no, I don't want Diet Coke. I'm not an adult. I want a child drink. I want all the sugar. I want the Coke. So caught a couple of the Blazers games. Missed a little bit of last night's on the plane, but caught up. You know, not a good one. But yeah, here we are, halfway mark. I feel pretty good. I got to tell you, you know, if we go back and look at the predictions, my win-loss total, I'm right there.
What was your total?
Where they're going to finish. It was in the 20s, you know, high end was like 28. I think I might have said 25, so they're right there.
I can't remember what I said. I think I said right around.
You thought they were going to do a little bit better, and there was potential to do better.
Maybe 30. So they're 12 and 29 at the halfway point. Now they're 12 and 30 after losing to the Lakers on Sunday. That puts them on pace for about 24 wins. I still think 30 is legit because I didn't know Ant was going to be gone for 22 or whatever it is. I didn't know Ayton was going to miss 12. So I think those two missing that many games is worth a few wins. And if you give them three more wins, that puts them on pace for 30. I feel good about that. But injuries are a part of it, as we know.
Right. Just do whatever you can to make yourself right. Do whatever you can. Like, just fix stuff
around.
Right? Make it.
Just change the variables and boom, you're good.
your wife is an angel.
You just know it, huh? Without any stories, you just know.
At what point you'd be like, well, Aaron, you're a half hour late. I had to get gas because you left the car without gas.
Right.
So that's 8
and I'm
minutes.
Only half hour late because you said 7, not 7:30. Otherwise, I'd be right on time. So I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So basically, you're saying they're right about where you thought they would be. I think they're a little below. I'm going to blame injuries. And that's, you know, I think that's fair. But I did a midseason report. I do it every year, and I gave out some Fentress awards.
trying to keep it positive.
Huge.
Keep it positive. So let's use that vehicle to talk about the team, where it is right now, and sort of what we sort of see for the second half. First, MVP. For me, it's easy. Jerami Grant, 22 points per game, 4-something rebounds. He's been the most consistent player, been the most healthy player amongst their best players, and obviously has missed like 22 games. You any problem with Jerami Grant as a team's MVP? Elevated his aggressiveness this season. He's carried them some nights. He's been looking pretty good.
Process of elimination. Like, who else? Like, who are you competing? Honestly, when I thought about it, right? Like, who him, else would Sharp it be? Brogdon, like, there's probably no other. Right, but, you know, Sharp you can't put there. So, still inconsistent. Missed a ton of games, up and down. Brogdon's missed, some games, and he's off the bench. You're right. In the wins, there's only, he's been consistently good. But, yeah, the guy averaging, 22 who's played the most is your MVP because he's almost like running unopposed. You really have to stretch an argument for anyone else. So, yes, I agree with Jerami Grant is your MVP. I still don't think he's having a great year. I mean, I look at the other numbers are not good. I mean, he should rebound more. You talked about, you thought this guy was going to average 8 rebounds a game when he got caught. And I was those numbers aren't real. That. Remember, we argued. He's like, he's going to increase his rebounding when he got here.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Right. Yeah. I mean, he's been fine. I mean, he's getting paid to score 20 plus, and he's doing it. But I haven't I'm not sitting here saying that he's having an amazing year. But some of that's not his fault because he's not built to carry a team, and he's built to be really a third wheel in a good way, the third best player maybe. And defensively, it's hard for him to stand out because he is the kind of guy that if everyone else is doing their job, he's going to sneak in and get steals and blocks. Like Thibault's a one-on-one defensive monster. I mean, he doesn't matter. Like he jumps in. That's not Grant's thing. He's always been really solid, jump in the lane, good defender. But yeah, he's the MVP because you couldn't even do, I don't see any argument for anyone else.
Okay, first of all, he would have improved his rebounding had he improved it. So I wasn't wrong on that. Greg had to think about it. Greg had to think about it.
I would have been taller if my dad was taller.
Greg had to think about it for a second. He was like, what did he just say? Oh.
What did he say?
But let's give the guy credit. With Ant being out a lot, with Youngins playing, some nights he's out there starting with Scoot, Kamara, and Reef. With all of that, dude shooting 46% from the field and 40% on threes. He's played really good basketball. If I'm a contender and I need another dude, why am I not interested in this guy? Why am I not maybe trying to get this guy?
Well, you are.
Like, to me, he's played himself into a position where a team that feels like it's one player away, and you're not necessarily talking about, an all-star, you just want to get another guy that you can trust to make things happen. Geez, look at what this guy's doing. And you compare it to when he was in Detroit and he was the guy, his shooting percentages were way, way worse. He was shooting 35% on threes, 43% from the field. So he's gotten a lot better as being the guy on this team. So, I mean, I hate to see him go, but people talk about his contract. But, if you're a good team, $30 million, what's $30 million? You're getting a guy and give you $20. $30 million seems to be the going rate.
It's the 5 years that's hard. Remaining.
Yeah,
it's the 5 years. Though. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's $160 million with four
you gotta
more.
Pay to win.
He's 29.
You, gotta pay to
win. I'm not saying it. If you're asking what the deterrent would be, that's right. What it is. It's year, 3 and 4 in a contract when he's 30, 3 years old. But back, then $30 million will be nothing.
Right.
So, exactly. And the salary cap will be bigger. So I don't think it's a huge deterrent, except for it. But that's the reason. And you don't have the space for it in your mind because you have a plan and you didn't have the Jerami Grant part of the plan. And that you would have to possibly change your plan. But yes, he's a proven player. The one thing that hasn't proven is the winning part. You don't know what he's going to be like in the playoffs. And that's the other part where you'd be like, we're going to bring this guy in to win a championship or contend. I wonder what he's going to be like because we don't know. I mean, I would think he'd be really good.
If he's your third guy, I think
you don't know until you're in those.
He's your third guy playing off a couple of
years. But you don't know. You're asking for the reasons, right? Those are the reasons. Contract, and the guy hasn't done it before, as opposed to, you know, there's plenty of guys that their numbers don't look great. I mean, Robert Ori's, you know, regular season numbers don't jump off the page, but everyone wanted him, and people talk about him being a Hall of Famer because of what he could do in the last, you know, 8 minutes of every important game that's ever been played.
Okay.
They don't call him Big Shot Grant yet.
They don't.
Oh.
All right. Top rookie. We have a little bit of a controversy here. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, to me, and I just played a little bit of video there, so sorry about that. I didn't mean to. The sound, I didn't mute.
Was it video from Vegas? A debauchery?
No, it was like something off of, you know, ESPN.com, some stat thing I was looking at.
I just love the word debauchery.
Yeah, I'm not putting Scoot as my top rookie. I'm putting Tamani and Reith. I'm going to, you know, call it a tie because I think that what they've given you – Tumani, almost since the beginning, who thought he would have been able to be taken out of the starting lineup, right? Like, he earned his way in. He's earned a role. He was a second-round draft pick, possible, you know. I don't want to call him a throw-in because the Blazers pushed for him. You know, they knew they wanted him, but they could have had him earlier and didn't. And he's turned out to be a player that you can now envision seeing as a rotation player. And come on, Reith, like, what the heck? I mean, this guy's starting and he's second leading scorer on some nights.
Because two guys were injured. It's not like he earned a starting job.
This guy was playing in Lebanon. You know, like, no one thought this guy was going to play in the NBA.
Story, and he doesn't. Not a top rookie, but go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if I look at, I'm doing it because I think it's an amazing story. He's contributing and he has earned a place in the rotation. Like, he's earned it. He's been consistent. I mean, he's a really good shooter for a big man. And in the modern NBA, that's important. And Tamani does defensively. He's been fun to watch. Obviously, he's going a little bit in a down route. But I'm going to pick them both over Scoot. Because if you ask me, what here's Scoot's numbers at the halfway part. Would you be disappointed? I would say yes. That's not, I would be disappointed. I'm not saying it's over, he's a bust. I'm saying it hasn't been a great first half of his first season. He's gotten plenty of minutes, plenty of opportunities. But I look at it, if you're shooting at 37% and you're not contributing in the wins usually, it's usually he's not one of the reasons why they won. And your highlight is a 30-point game when you took 30 shots, like, I'm not going to be thinking that's – I'm not just going to default to it because he's the third overall pick and he's averaging the most points.
Okay. Well, I'm going to shift mine a little bit. I'm keeping Scoot. Instead of Scoot to mine, I'm going to go Scoot Reith. Scoot and Tamani. Tamani is the better story because, like you said, a second-round pick worked his way into the starting lineup. Scoot was a third pick, et cetera. But they're shooting them. They're both having trouble shooting the ball. Scoot, though, is saddled with more responsibility playing the point guard, which is tougher to do. And he's had enough positive moments. He had a great stretch there where he was shooting like 43% on threes over like 9 or 10 games. And then I think Reith has been better than Tumai has for sure. So you convinced me on that. But I'm going to go with Scoot and Reith as your top rookies of the year. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, how – I mean, in my world, what you're saying is that – it was almost impossible for Scoot not to get this award, you know, like.
Well, no, if Tumani was shooting like Reith would, then I'd be with you, but Tumani's not. So both of them are struggling offensively, but one has had a far higher burden to deal with and has had more bigger games than the other one. Scoot has had a lot of good games. He's had double-digit assists. He's had 30 points. Like, he's had some nice moments, whereas Tumani – it's kind of been overhyped what he's done because of the story. But when you really look at the totality of him, it's like, you know, he's been okay.
So I'm going to ask, I'll ask a different question.
Go ahead.
So if I told you at the halfway mark, Scoot was going to be averaging playing over 27 points a game.
27 minutes.
He was going to be shooting 36% from 29% from three, averaging 4.7 assists, 12.2 points, and 3.3 turnovers a game.
I'd be like, yeah.
What's your grade?
Average.
I mean, I guess, all right, average. Different. That's what's your grade?
That's what I expect.
You would expect that poor 36%.
Don't you remember me screaming the entire summer?
Yeah, I know, but I don't think
I thought he was going to struggle shooting.
I'm with you.
Horribly. There was no way he was going to get better as a shooter from what we saw in the G League to the NBA. So I'm not shocked at all that he has struggled shooting. The turnovers, I'm not shocked at all with that either, because you're asking a 19-year-old to run a mediocre NBA team. That's a lot to ask. So again, he and Tumani offensively have both been negative players, right? But one of them has had some really good games. The other one, offensively, the other one has not had any really good games offensively. Scoot has scored 30 points. He's had double-digit, like I said, assists. He's had nights where he's lit it up. So he's shown some flashes offensively. Tumani has not. So that's all. But, I mean...
Right. So I'm basically grading on a bell curve here, and you're not.
Right.
I got you. And you're right. Scoot's still 19. All those numbers are what they are. I guess really the part that has disappointed me with Scoot is a little bit of the lack of the seeing that athleticism that I expected, those moments of, you know, he had a moment where he you know, broke some ankles and made a beautiful layup. And we haven't seen enough of those. And I guess that's where
I think it's
maybe I'm overdoing the numbers.
I think part of that is because
he's
thinking so much. He's spending so much time trying to process and think and run the offense that he's not just able to go out there and just play freely. And that's why we haven't seen more of those moments where you're like, holy crap, that looked like Ja Morant, right?
Gotcha.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens for him.
Yeah. Let's hope.
It's early.
I mean, I mean, I can't imagine it's not coming. Like, there's a reason why he was the third overall pick and what everyone saw in him. And I have to assume that that's the reason, and we'll see more of that, and eventually we'll get to it. There's probably going to be no choice but to play him, depending how this roster's built, and hopefully we'll see more of those moments. Right.
Most improved player.
I
got Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah, I'm gonna go differently this one as well.
Trouble.
I'm not starting trouble. I'm going to go with Jabari Walker.
I'll give you that.
I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, the guy has taken his game to another level and consistently earned his way into the starting lineup. You know what you're getting with him from him every night, and I still don't know that with Sharpe. So, it's Sharpe at their moments when you're like, oh, that's it. There's no doubt. And there was a stretch there where this was going to be a no-brainer for me, but I'm going to go with Walker over Sharpe just because he went from a guy that you didn't know if he was really going to be able to step up and be a rotation player who played last year because they needed him. And this year you're like, oh my, he knows what he's going to do. He's going to play in this league. I think he's going to play in the league for a long time. And so, you know, Sharpe's numbers, I mean, he went from 10 points to 15 points. That's impressive. But his shooting percentage is way down. So it's like, well, he's playing 10 more minutes a game. He's a focus of the offense. He's shooting really, you know, poorly. Yeah. So that's why I won't give it
to
him.
He had a crazy stretch
and
where
I'm going with Walker.
Was playing literally like an all-star for like five or six games and then kind of fell way off.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, got injured. And ever since he got injured, right? So, you know, that's clearly impacted him. Now he's out again. Probably at least till the All-Star break, but I still think he made a big jump. But I give you Walker. Walker has made a huge jump as well. I don't know if he's, you know, a starting four in the NBA for a good team, but at the very least, he's a damn good versatile backup four who can play for a good team. So definitely, I'll give you that one. I'll give you Walker. That's a good one. But I'm a roll with Sharpe. All right, biggest surprise for me, it's Reef. You know, you come into the season thinking Ayton Williams with Jabari probably being the third center, and you obviously have injuries there. And here comes this 26-year-old rookie, like you said, was playing in Lebanon, who is playing really well. Now, defensively, obviously, he's going to have some issues, and I think that's, you know, that's to be expected. But the fact that he's shooting, what, 47% and 37% on threes or something like that, you know, Billups called him, you know, pick and pop, and he's definitely been pick and pop. And so you can see a scenario moving forward where he could be your backup center and be a guy who can give you some versatility and give other teams a different look. And as he matures and grows and becomes a better defender, then he becomes a pretty huge weapon for you.
Yeah, I have no idea what the future of Reith is. I have no idea. Like, if you told me, oh, he's out of the league next year, I'd be like, oh, okay. But what a story. I mean, he's averaging almost 10 points a game and 4 rebounds, and he's shooting 48%, like you said, and he is – when he shoots threes, you're like, oh, that's right. Probably going in. You know, his last 10, he's shooting at 40% rate. Dad, he's playing. I didn't know who he was. Like, no one did, you know? And you're like, oh, who's that? Oh, that's a cool story. It's going to be – he's, you know, he's going to get to play in an NBA game when he first got in. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, he got NBA points. Like, no matter what happens, this guy can say he scored in an NBA game. And I was like, oh, this guy could say he can hit a three. And I was like, oh, this guy could say he scored 20. You know, like, it's amazing. It's definitely the biggest surprise. And to me, it's the, you know, it's pretty much the best story of the season so far, is to see this guy. And I'm just, you know, rooting for him. In 5 years, he'll be, you know, he'll be close. If he's still in the NBA, that's amazing to me.
Right. Yeah, I echo everything you said. I wrote a little bit about him after his first game in LA. Matisse spent time with him in Australia, so Matisse knew a lot about him. And
yeah,
he was like, when I asked him, can I talk to you about Reith? He's like, if you want me to cry. I was like, really? He goes, well, I'm not going to cry, but yeah, it's still
that's amazing.
It's an emotional story.
That's awesome.
He felt so happy for him. All right. Best win of the season. There's only been, you know, 12 or 11.
You skipped one.
Oh, biggest disappointment. Okay, for me, the fact that Robert Williams got injured, that just really hurt this team. You know, like I said, I still stand by my 30 wins because he got eight and missing 30-something games. Williams missed 30. Had Williams been healthy, I think that's worth 2 or 3 wins at least, just because he gives you some kind of rim protection when Ayton's out. When Ayton was out and they were running out there with Reith and Baji, like, that teams were just Olaying themselves to the rim. Williams would help stop that. Really disappointed to not be able to see what he was going to bring to this roster. So for me, that's the biggest disappointment. It's not his fault. It's just something bad that happened, but I'm disappointed in that the most this season.
Yeah, I would say if you thought Williams was going to be healthy, that's your fault. And I don't mean that in a bad – I mean, that's just looking at his career. I mean, he can't stay healthy. So, and that's why he was available. You know, a big reason why Williams was available was because he can't be depended on. So I don't have him as the biggest disappointment because he got hurt and I didn't think of it that way. I have the guy who actually has started at center as the biggest disappointment. And really, based on how you convinced me how important it was, and I have DeAndre Ayton. Because as you said, like, that's the key to the get, you know, all the trades, in the sense that I know it was a separate trade, but if Ayton ends up being a huge, you know, nothing out of this, getting rid of Lillard and doing this flip didn't work. And I just think it's been really disappointing. He has been hurt with a knee injury that supposedly not serious, but he missed a lot of games because of it. And he's tall and he plays in Portland and he's got a bad leg. So, like, I can't not have PTSD, right? Like, when you miss that many games, and when he does play, he's averaging 31 minutes a game and he's averaging, you know, less than 13 points a game and 10 rebounds. And he has not even had a game of dominance. So I just look at it and say, well, you know, you talk about he's got more steals than block shots per game. Like, who, what? Like, no. And again, I'm not giving up on him per se. And it's a weird spot for him to be in, going from playing on the Suns, where he was a guy that thought he deserved more offensive opportunities, but averaged 18 and 10. I'm very worried about the Ayton acquisition right now. I think he has been a huge disappointment, because we should have been saying, who's MVP, Grant or Ayton?
Right.
And we didn't even – he wasn't even in the conversation.
So I gave Ayton the benefit of the doubt for most of the first half of the season, because Billups himself said they weren't necessarily running a lot of things for him. But I did want to see him be more aggressive and sort of go out there and establish that no matter what the situation, no matter who the opponent is, he's going to give you 20 and 10, if not more, especially on a team with Ant's out and there's a lot of points available. Now, then he had the knee injury. So I'm not going to fault a guy for getting injured. He missed 11 games because of the knee. And then, of course, we have the ice capades situation. So now I'm neutral. I'm no longer giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to be neutral for the second half of the season. I want to see this guy bust out. I want to see him dropping some 25s and 13s here and there. I want to see him average closer to 28, at least 18, 19 for the second half of the season. I want to see him demonstrate that he can be a legitimate piece to this puzzle. Because if he's not, and you're stuck with a $34 million center that everyone in Phoenix is saying, ha, we told you, then everything is the smoke and mirrors that I said it was when they made all the trades, because he was the most excited thing people were most excited about. And they were ignoring the fact that they didn't really trade Dame and get Ayton. They traded Dame for Jrue Holiday and some stuff, and then sent what's-his-face? I can't remember dude's name. Who's the guard? Grayson Allen. Sent Grayson Allen to Phoenix. Was yep. The only piece that came from that. And then you traded Nurkic, who's been better than Ayton has this season, and Little, and then, of course, Keon Johnson. So they're really separate, but people like to lump them together because Ayton makes the entire package look so much better. And the reason why it looks so much better is because the rest of the package was just meh. So if he doesn't work out and you're trying to get rid of him or trade him and you're not going to re-sign him, then it's a complete disaster. And then you have to replace him because you're going to need some big people, some people over 6'4", if you're going to ever get back to the playoffs. So if you miss out on him being that guy at 25, 26, 27, 28 moving forward, that's a piece you have to replace, and those pieces are hard to find. So yeah, there's a lot riding on Ayton as far as I'm concerned, and I'm with you right now. It's a disappointment, but like I said, I'm neutral. I'm going to forgive the first half. Let's move forward in the second half. He needs to bust out.
And all that, especially when Williams is hurt and you don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, right. Anything. Because he's out the entire year, and you're like, well, I hope he comes back and is okay. But at some point in time, you know, guys just don't recover and play consistently in this league if you keep having injuries. So, yep, it's funny you talk through it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Little doesn't stink. He's got, you know, he's been playing a little bit for, you know, contributing for the Suns, and Nurkic is playing, and, It's not looking off for what happened.
All the crying about Nurkic's contract. So. He makes half as much as Ayton does. So, all right. Yes. Biggest win of the season. By far for me, they beat Sacramento, a really good team, 130 to 113 on a night where De'Aaron Fox had 43. Sabonis had 34. Ant had 29, but it was the bench. The bench put up 65 points, 21 rebounds, and 15 assists. Scoot killed it. Reith killed it. Jabari killed it. That was the most impressive win by far for me. And they had some other nice wins. They won at Cleveland. They beat Indiana twice. But for me, that win against Sacramento was the most impressive.
Yeah, they beat Phoenix. Yeah. Is a good win. But yeah, I mean, they blew out. A good team. They did it at home. The crowd got something, you know, to appreciate. And it's not like they didn't. They played with, you know, their two best players. So I'm 100% with you on. To me, this is an easy one, because I mean, Reith had 25. You know, Walker had 17. Like it just, it was nice.
Scoot, the only thing it 17 did, and 11.
Didn't have was Scoot's game. That was. I mean, he was a plus 21. Yeah. He only had two fouls. He only had one turnover and 11 assists. Like, this is what you – this.
That's the guy you want.
Right. That's what you want, right? That's a rebuild, right? Like, that's like where you're saying, okay, we're getting what we need out of that. So, yes, I would I would agree with that completely.
So, worst loss. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, well, It's kind of easy, and so I made it less easy because you lose by 62.
Second worst.
That's
second
usually worst where you in go, history. Right? Like your worst loss in franchise worst, history. Yeah. So,
the thunder at the end of that road trip. Yep, bad.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you lost by 62. I threw in the conversation just kind of a joke. The back-to-back Dallas losses on that road trip were pretty awful because you get blown out with Luka. That's a, you're like, okay. But then you get blown out, you know, a day later without Luka. And you're like, oh, you know, like that's bad two things. So, but I will say, you lose by 62. You gotta win that. You gotta win worst loss. Right. You gotta hope so, to.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah. But here's the thing. Okay, so the 62 point loss. That's where you had Baji and Reith, no rim protection. You had Scoot and Ant playing guards, and they were hideous on offense as well. The Ant was 0 for 10 that game. And you're playing a far superior team. You're near the end of a long trip. They were pretty gassed. So yeah, it's still the second worst. Most lopsided loss in franchise history. But for me, the loss at home to Washington, which was 4-22 at the time, and they come in there when you're pretty much healthy and you let them beat you. And for me, and again, it's not like I was, I mean, you know how I like to cling on to things because I'm trying to get through the season mentally. So I need things to latch on to. And I just felt like that's a game you gotta win to at least maintain the illusion that you're respectable. And it made no sense that they let Washington come in there and just torch them. And it was a close game, but offensively, Washington was just on. And so that was the most disappointing loss. Oklahoma City was the worst. The Dallas games, you know, those are bad. But again, they were – Ant had just came back. He was still kind of sick. You know, so I still give them the benefit of the doubt there. But that Washington loss for me was the worst.
Yeah, I'm 62. No one's kidding. Yeah, I can't.
Your rebuttal, Mr. Burnback.
Like, yeah, 62. My rebuttal,
62, and I rest.
Okay, 62. I mean, like, I just can't. I can't get past it. I mean,
so ugly.
It's 62. I mean, and no, you talk about it. No one's thinking you're respectable if you lose by 62. But
when the Blazers just lost by 65, which is the record, they went 46-36 and made the playoffs that year. That's what's funny about it.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Fine. 62. I mean, it's a worse loss. I mean, like, here's what I know. If somebody would have asked, done a podcast back then, and they would have said, which is the worst loss of the year, it would have been the one where they lost by more than 62. Like, you know, it's, I just, you know, yes, losing to Washington at home is really bad, but it's hard to lose by 62 points. Like, God. It's so hard to do that. I mean, you don't score 250 points. You know, I mean, last night they lost terribly, and they lost by 24, and that's a terrible loss. That's 38 points better than the loss I'm saying is the worst loss. So I'm standing by it, and I'm not gonna worry about defending it. I'm just gonna say 62.
Fair enough. All right. Expectations for the second half. What are your expectations, Craig? Over under 12 victories. They got 12 in the first half. Can they go over in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably be, you know, between 10 and 15, you know. I think that's where they'll be because the NBA is a weird place and you just don't know if you're going to beat Indiana at home when they make a big trade and maybe haven't figured it out, right? Because you're not and maybe you beat Phoenix every once in a while. But they're not good. They're not good. They're hopefully – you know, people have there's no reason to win. That shouldn't be like we keep talking about. That's not the win. That's not what we're going to evaluate success on. And any game they win on the road will be a shock, right? They're probably not going to be favored by more than in many, if, you know, five games the rest of the year, maybe they're favored. I don't know who they're playing enough. I haven't looked at game by game yet, but yeah, I would think that you're looking at a very similar win-loss for the second half.
I see 16 winnable. And the winnables are like, I'm not going to name all 16, but, you know, you got Memphis. New Orleans comes to town. They're beatable, obviously. You beat Charlotte. You beat Phoenix. You beat Sacramento. You beat Indiana. You can beat the Pelicans. You got Houston a couple times. You got Atlanta. You got Charlotte. You got Washington again. You got Golden State at home. You can play with them, obviously. So I think there's 16 winnable. That means maybe they win six, and then they pull off some upsets here and there. And then the non-winnable category, which I think was 24 non-winnable, so to speak. So I think right around 10. And I think they're going to, you know, pull the plug on some guys late to try and ensure that they have a top five ping pong ball chance. That's been the pattern so far. So I can't imagine that somehow, some way in March, you know, Ant's going to have something, Sharp's going to have something, Ayton's going to have something, and they're just going to roll out the kids and just get blasted. So I'm going to say under 12. I think they finish under 22 wins on the season, mainly because I think that they're going to pull the plug at some point.
Yeah, I don't think it would matter if they pulled it or not, but they have
okay,
to.
So hold on a second. But here's the thing. I love what he's done lineup-wise. I've been in my mind, I've been thinking the entire time that this would be their best lineup. Get Walker at the four, Grant at the three, because you've been asking him to rebound and he doesn't. And Billups mentioned it. Like he said, he's been on him about it. And I had a funny exchange with Grant when I'm like, so, you know, Jeremy, you had eight the other night, you had four tonight. Chauncey says he's been getting on you, but he's like, yeah, you know, I just need to do a better job of crashing and getting more rebounds. And I go, and you had that one stretch of 10 games where you averaged like 1.3 rebounds. And like, you know, what do you need to do more? And he goes, well, you know, I just need to just do better at grabbing more rebounds. And he kind of smiled at me like, you know, he knows he needs to do better. But I think adding Walker with Ayton, now you have two bigs who are going to be able to bang around and get some offensive rebounds, get some defensive rebounds, and Grant doesn't have as much of a burden on him. And then Grant obviously is a way better three than Kamara. And then you get Scoot out of there, right? And then you're going to start Sharp when he gets back, but you're starting Malcolm with Ant. That is like a legitimate starting five, legitimate, not playoff legitimate, but at least an adult-laden starting five where you feel like you can do some things and not get blown out instantly, which is what they were doing before. So I think if that lineup stays healthy, that they could, they could get some victories. But I just don't think it's going to stay healthy, and I think they're going to pull the plug at some point on some guys. So anyway.
Yeah, and they're going to trade. I mean, they're going to trade their second most important scorer.
That's the next conversation.
In Brogdon. I mean, they got to trade him. So, and there's a chance they trade Grant. So I think that's less likely, but you got to trade Brogdon. I mean, and he has been in the wins in general. He is, it's close to, he's the argument for MVP because in their victories, he's been the most clutch player at times, and more consistently than anyone else. Obviously, Simons hit a game winner the other day. That's pretty clutch. But the one constant it feels like has been Brogdon playing big minutes and scoring big buckets when it mattered. So, fine. I mean, you can. I just feel like no matter what you say that. When you push something up, something gets pushed down, right? So Walker started. He had 7 rebounds in the loss to the Lakers, and Ayton somehow managed 4. So he only played 22 minutes. So, but that's not a lot. Grant had 3. They got out-rebounded by 10.
Right.
So I just feel like whatever you push up, something gets pushed down on this team just because there's a lack of talent. And at times there's a lack of focus. And there's a lack of, what they're doing. Like, they make huge mistakes on the defensive end, and they make huge mistakes on the offensive end. Terrible turnovers, complete and total breakdowns. So there's a lot of reasons why they're 12-30, and it's not just injuries. So, like, yeah, they could be 15-30. Go, Aaron.
Okay,
like
so you, you're
No, they could be.
They could
but
be
I
even
expected
more.
There to be injuries.
Okay,
of course, if you break down everybody, you know, and the Lakers are 22-22. My guess is if you break down, they could tell you where their 3 to 5 wins come from. That's sports. Like, you could always figure out why you lost,
except when you lose by
62.
And then in different lineups. They've had a pretty. I mean, you miss your best player for 20 plus. You miss your center for 15. You miss your backup center for 30. Like, that's going to impact you. a lot.
Of course.
So I'm just saying.
I'm not saying, but there's a lot. And getting lucky with injuries is, you know, makes a big difference. I mean, Phoenix will tell you that they've not, you know, they got a big three that's played two games together. I just expected there to be injuries on this team because they have a history right. of injuries. A lot of the players that you talk about. I mean, I didn't expect Brogdon to play the entire time. I didn't expect Ayton to play the entire time. I certainly didn't expect Williams to play the entire time. Simon's injury was just a kind of a fluke thing. It happens, but that stuff happens. People sprain ankles. People get hit in the head. They're just not, you know, good for him. Change it up. Try to win. When they win, so like when they win games, because I told you I'm not going to evaluate the season on wins right. and losses. So when you beat the Pacers at home, that's good. But when I look and see how you beat the Pacers, I'm not that excited, you know, because I don't see what I want. Like Scoot was not a part of that win. And the people that stepped up for you to win that game, Grant scored 37. You're like, okay, great. You know, like he scored 37, a guy that I'd really rather not be the main scorer. Brogdon had 30. I'm like, wow, he's going to be awesome when the Knicks get him. I'm excited.
Okay.
You know, Ayton had 12, right? And Scoot didn't play at all. And I mean, Scoot played Sharp didn't play at all. And Scoot got, you know, he got banged up. He played really well for 8 minutes. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, this is awesome. And you're because what does it really mean for the franchise, that win? So that's where I'm like, good win. I'm glad people that went to the game got to see a victory, but I evaluate that as a meh, not a like, woohoo.
Fair. All right, let's end on this. Trade deadline is February 8th. We'll obviously talk more about it, but just initially we both agreed that Brogdon's, you got to move Brogdon. Ideally, you probably move Grant, both for him and for the franchise. If you can get something really nice for Grant, if you can get a younger player, you can get some picks. Grant, probably not a part of the future, ideally. Although, you know, I can see a scenario where, you know, in 3 years, he's still your starting three and you're a lot better. You know, we'll see. But,
or you trade him next year when his contract is, right. Where his contract gets better every year.
You expect at least Brogdon to be gone. And what do you expect them to get?
Well, hopefully a first round draft pick. You know, that's useful. I mean, that's it. That's all I care about. Get me a first round draft pick that, you know, and I hope they can get one for him. But other than that, I don't see any team. And maybe there's a young player that people aren't using. I mean, the Knicks have Grimes. That'd be a nice if that's part of it. That he can play, good defender, young, shown he can shoot at times. And he's not happy, and they can't find a spot for him. So, and that the Knicks have accelerated their, you know. They have a chance to be contenders in the East pretty quickly with what they've done. So something like that. But, you know, the thing with Brogdon is it's not like he's a piece, not a future piece. You know what I mean? Like, so necessarily. And we know that because of why he's on the Blazers. I mean, he's a quality player, but, you know, people willing to give him up. So I think that if you got a first round draft pick or a young guy that was a first round draft pick or has shown the ability to be a possible starter, I think that'd be great. But he's on his fourth team. You know what I mean? Like there's a reason why he's been gettable because nobody has said, the price is huge.
Right.
Does that make sense?
All right. One last thing for Blazers fans. We'll get this up here soon so you can benefit from this. And this information helps you on Wednesday as well. So the G League Ignite are in town. That's where Scoot played. They are in town Monday night, 6 o'clock against the Remix, and Wednesday night against the Remix. And that matters because the G League Ignite are the team where kids go to play if they don't want to go to high school. See, they don't want to go to college. They could go to the NBA right away.
College.
You go to play for the G League Ignite, which is what Scoot did. And they have three potential lottery picks, Craig. Three. They got this kid, Mattis Buzelis, 6'10", power forward, Lauri Markkanen type, very skinny, 209, can shoot it, can put it on the ground, not an elite athlete. He's projected by a couple mock drafts to go top two, so you'd need some lottery ball help there to get him. And then there's a guard, 6'6" guard. His name is Holland. Hold on a second here, sorry. Ron Holland, small forward slash guard, 6'6", very athletic defender, mediocre shooter, but developing in that area. He could be available. He's projected to be 4 through 7. And then you got Tyler Smith, power forward, 6'11", dude shooting 38% on threes, I think. Yep, 53% on twos. It's interesting. I watched all of their highlight videos against the Remix when they played them, they hosted them. It's just hilarious, dude. They're just babies. It's so funny. It's like, you know, yeah, it's like
so young.
You add another 19-year-old to this mix with Scoot and Sharp, and it's like you're running the daycare center. It's going to take long for these guys to develop into impact players. But these are three talented guys. Smith is supposed to go later in the first in the lottery, which means maybe you get him with the pick you have from the Warriors. The Warriors right now, I think, are 10th or no, 12th. I think in the West, if they continue to stay out of the playoff mix, that would be a lottery pick for the Blazers. So, hey, if you head out to the Child Center and watch the Remix Monday or Wednesday, you could be watching a future Blazer, maybe even two. It's possible, Craig. So I'll see you out there.
Yes, it is. I have to look at the schedule. I love watching basketball at the Child Center. I love that place for basketball. Yeah, it's just a cool – I mean, it's a weird-looking dome. I mean, I don't want to say weird in a bad way. It's unique. I feel it's a really good place to watch basketball. I've always liked it. I've watched a lot of, you know, small to mid-sized college basketball, and it's, to me, one of the best kind of mid-size arenas in the country. And you know, it's not going to you'll get a good seat, and you'll get to see some interesting, you know, basketball, and you will definitely be able to say I saw him when, maybe not be a Blazer, but somebody on that team is going to be an NBA All-Star. I mean, there's good odds on that, and you'll be able to say I saw him when he, you know, scored 12 points in the game, and he looked like he was 12. So Fentress gets, if you put in the coupon code, Fentress is always right, you get a 10% discount. I'm just kidding.
Well, I am, but anyway. All right. Is that it? We covered everything?
Yeah,
we're
good.
We're golden. It's been a while. The snow kept us apart for a little bit. Man, how was that? I had a lot of fun working for a school district during that time.
Anyway, we'll
move on from that.
A lot of early mornings, but I'm glad to see. I heard it's going to be like 59 degrees next Saturday. Woohoo! Gonna go swimming in the river.
All right, that's it for the Blazer Focus podcast. Thanks for listening. Please click that subscription button and give us a positive rating. And we will be back with another podcast between now, at least one, if not two, between now and the trade deadline. But that's where the focus is right now, man. You know, what are the Blazers going to do? How can they flip, you know, Brogdon into more assets? Probably the biggest storyline of the next couple weeks for this team. We'll catch you later.